When you leave here today, whatever you're facing, you should say, I know what's against me, but I also know who's for me. And God is for me. And if God be for me, who could ever be against me? Amen? That's exactly right. Hallelujah. No, listen, God is for me.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Call to Earnestly Contend, from a series in the New Testament Epistle of Jude. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
So the word there, contend earnestly, it's only found here in the New Testament. And it's an athletic term, okay? And it literally, I mean, we get our word agony from this. You remember the wide world of sports and they would, the agony and the whatever it was? What was it? There you go. So that is intense agony, intense determined struggle to defeat the opposition. Now, we are God's contenders for the faith, wherever we are, amen? Very important. Now, so in context, this here, it means to aggressively continue to defend faith against the false teachers, okay? And how would you do that? Well, you would just shoot them and get rid of them. No, the word contending, but not contentious, very important. You're not looking for a fight. How do we respond to anyone, false teachers or any unbelievers or whatnot? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Always be ready to give a defense to every word. The word defense, we get our English word apologetics, you know, give an answer, okay? Defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And how do we answer? It tells us, and do so with meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. Listen, God's word, the Bible, is God's truth. And today, Christians, they can speak his truth in many, many ways. But it is tragic when a Christian makes good news bad news. It's tragic. It's a horrible thing. You know, God's heart, it must break when some today, as some then, they share the good news of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, but they make it cold, they make it mean, they make it cruel, and they make it unloving. You know, I remember many, many years ago, I was drafted in the Army in the 60s, and I had come home on furlough, and I wanted to find my little brother. I hadn't seen him in years. I didn't know what he was doing, but I did know that there was a church evidently he was attending in Fort Worth. So I went to the church, knocked on the door, the pastor opened the door, and I said, hi, my name is Bill Quinn. I said, my brother, I believe, goes to this church. He says, yes, he does. And he got out a Rolodex and he said, see, right here, he was baptized. Da, 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 da. I said, wonderful. I said, do you know where he is? Yes, I do. Oh, can you tell me? I said, I haven't seen him in years and I want to go see him. And he looked at me and he said, do you know the Lord? I said, well, no, I don't. He said, well, I'm not going to tell you where he is. He said, you're going to go to hell. You're going to burn forever, and you're not worthy to say one word to your brother. Well, after he picked himself off the floor, no, I'm joking. I'm teasing. I did not do that. But I never forgot it because, see, he should have said, do you know Jesus? I said, no. And he should have said, do you want to know him? I can tell you how. I can tell you all about how much he loves you. You follow me. But he didn't do that. You see, he didn't speak the truth of the gospel the right way, did he? No, loved one, no. I'm telling you, listen, we don't want to ever do that. Believers cannot contend for God's truth. They can only do it one way, not your way. You have to do it God's way, not your favorite teacher's way. You only can do it one way, and that's his way. Amen? Now listen to me. God's truth, the Word of God, when you share it with others, if you don't share it in love, it has not been shared. Do you understand? It has not been shared. The Bible is very clear, Ephesians 4:15. It says, speaking the truth, meaning God's truth, in love, meaning, and do it to all people. It says, may grow up into all things into him, or in perfect union with Jesus, who is the head of the church, who is Christ. So should the body of Christ act like the head of the church? Yes. Yes, we should. We're the body. He's the head. Amen? Absolutely. So we earnestly contend for the faith, but we're not contentious. We do it. We speak the truth in love. You know, it was not many years ago. It used to be when I drank that sissy coffee called Starbucks. Becky and Thomas was just, I think he may have been in high school or junior high, I don't remember, but we, all three of us, went to the Starbucks where you get outside, you know, at the tables, and you would have your coffee. And I really enjoyed the coffee a lot back then. And so, make a long story short, here we are outside of the table, and here's another table, and there's about three or four men there. And so, as we're enjoying our coffee, I couldn't help it, but I was listening to their conversation. And I could tell that two or three of the guys that were there, they were witnessing to this one person. And I kept listening and listening, and the more I listened, I'm just going to be honest, the matter, more angry I got in my heart, because they were a cult. They were lying to this person. And so I told Becky, I said, let's just go. I can't take this anymore. So we all three got up, and we started walking toward the car, and I stopped, and Becky looked at me when I stopped. That look. I said, I can't do this. I'm going back. So Becky said, Thomas, let's go to the truck or car, whatever. And I went back to that coffee table, and I just leaned over and I said, sir, listen to me. These men want to make you twice the sons of hell as they are. They want you to burn in hell with them. And I said, they're not from God. They do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. And they are lying to you. And I looked at them and I said, you are the darkest of liars. The darkest of liars. And I looked at them and I said, let me lead you to the true Christ right now. Let me tell you about the true Savior. And the guy that wasn't saved, he was going, yeah, let's do that. You know. Now, but I want to say something about that. Was I right or was I wrong? Maybe, but I was angry. But I did speak the truth in love. I wanted them saved. You have to practice at those things. Do you know that? Because there's something like, see, when you know the truth and you have the truth that sets you free, you want to share it, but let's share it in love, amen? Whatever we do, that's what we have to do. And you know, Howard Hendricks one time, he made a statement. He says, in the midst of a generation screaming for answers, screaming for the truth, he says, Christians are stuttering. They're stuttering. Let me tell you why they're studying. Let me read it from Ephesians 4:14. Paul says, we should no longer be children, or in other words, spiritually immature, unlearned babies, okay? No longer children, tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine, false teaching that seems appealing, okay, that pushes us this way and that way. He says, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So they invent these errors of false teachers. They fleece, they never feed, and they love immature Christians. Listen, how can you defend the faith if you're not grounded in the Word of God? How can you share if you don't know what to share? And not only that, loved one, if you're not anchored in the Word of God, then when you hear the Word, what you think might be the Word of God on TV or someplace else, and you don't know if it's false or true. Amen? Because you're not anchored in the Word of God. You know, today, there's many in the church that are in trouble, and I say that lovingly, not judgingly, because, you know, whenever a church is taken through the Word of God, it changes everything. In other words, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Amen? And when the theme that's being brought out of the book or the chapter that we're in, the theme is not my theme, it's God's theme, where you learn why the book was written and how you can apply what was written to them historically, how you can apply it to your own lives right now. Amen? That's how you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, is when you go through God's Word. Now, quickly, we are to contend earnestly for what? The faith. the body of divine truth, the doctrines of Christianity. Listen, do you know the doctrines of Christianity? In other words, do you know that the Word of God, the Bible you hold in your hands, is God-breathed? It's inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. And it's reliable. And it is not only reliable, it is infallible in the original text of which it was written, the original manuscripts. Do you believe that God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is only one God, though, but He's manifested in three persons? Yes. Amen? We need to believe those things with all of our heart. We need to believe that, you know, that Jesus, was He born of a virgin? Yes. If you don't believe that, you're in trouble, because He was born of a virgin. And not only that, He was born, the Word became flesh. Yes. And He dwelt among us. He is the God-man. Amen? Yes. Yeah. And not only that, we believe that Jesus, he's the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the world, for our sins. Yes. And our sins are eternally paid for. And without the resurrection, He was put on a cross, He died, He paid mankind's penalty of sin, then He was buried, then He was raised from the dead on the third day. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. Amen? But He did. He's alive. He's alive right now. And then He ascended to the right hand of God. Amen? And one day He's going to come for us. We call that the rapture. And then Israel's going to get involved. Then there's going to be the Antichrist and all, you know, the rest. Then the millennial reign at the second coming. Man, listen, we got a great future. But you have to know the Word of God. The Bible says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come or absent, I may hear of your affairs. And here it comes, talking to Christians, that you stand fast, that every Christian, you hold your position in one spirit, meaning the power of another. He says, with one mind, and that mind can only be the mind of Christ. Amen. Striving together. We get our word athlete out of that word. Striving together as one man, one body. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, the body of divine truth. So we are to contend once and for all of us, because of the faith that has been delivered unto us, the saints. Now, once and for all, you know what that means? That means that no other faith is going to be given. No other body of truth is going to be given. It is complete. It is final. There's not any future additions needed to the Bible. Does that make sense? We've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So we have everything that we need. So that silences everything that came after it, after the completion of the Word of God. Every cult is a lie. The Book of Mormon is not true. Do you understand? We have the completed canon. Everything that came after that, loved one, I don't care. It's not true. And that's just the way it is. There is only one body of divine truth. Amen? And it is the Word of God. Now, and we are to guard it. It says, once and for all entrusted to the saints. So we're steward, we're guardians. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20? He says, oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, meaning the Word of God. And he says, avoiding or turn away from the profane and the idle babblings of contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, that myths and fables. Myths, fables, false teachings cannot change a person's nature. Cannot change a person's heart, cannot make a person born again. Only God's truth can do that. Amen? So every pastor must be a Timothy, and every Christian, it's our responsibility to guard the truth, to proclaim the truth, and hand down the truth to the next generation. We have the only truth that can change a man, change a woman's life, their destiny. Amen? Now, the reason that we must earnestly contend, we're just about through, hold on now. The reason, look at verse 4 there. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. So that's the enemies inside the church now. The word crept, if you see that, is only found here in the Bible. It means to slip in secretly. It means they didn't come in the front door. It means they came through the side door and they kind of slithered up and settled next to the sheep, if you will. And then it says, look at that word again, a scary word, unnoticed. That word is meaning unaware. Let me give you the language of that day, how it was used in the Greek. Let me read it to you about the word unnoticed. This word was used in the language of that day to speak of someone who could slip into water without making a ripple. Ooh, that's powerful, isn't it? In other words, they were unnoticed. Why? They didn't do it. They just slipped in. They came in secretly. That one of them may be here right now. You're going to get it. No. I'm going to speak the truth in love after the service. No. You follow what I'm getting at? No noise. They just secretly came in. Where? To the church. They slithered into the pew. They slithered into the pulpit. Today, they slither into the seminaries and on TV and everything else. And what a frightening word. They did so, and they were not noticed. So you have wolves blending with sheep. That is a scary thing. They're wearing those sheep clothing. They look like a sheep. They slithered in. They look like a sheep. They act like a sheep. They talk like a sheep, but they ain't a sheep. They're counterfeits. Amen? Jesus warned us in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, for who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They come in, and listen, they don't deceive by impersonating a sheep. They deceive by impersonating a shepherd who is over the church, loved one. Jesus said, listen, they're not some kind of misguided Christians or believers. They're ravenous wolves. They work for the devil. They work for the one who is always seeking a victim to seek and devour. That's who they work for. And look at this now. Who long ago were what? Marked out. That word's written about beforehand. Who were marked out, written beforehand for this condemnation. What does that mean? Jude is not telling them something they don't know. In other words, this is not new. Did Paul warn the elders of Ephesus? Did he say, savage wolves are coming after my departure? Okay, how about in 2 Peter 2:1? He said, just as there were false teachers among us, there will be false teachers among you. Amen? Yes, they're right there. Look at 14 and 15 in our text. What does it say here? It says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. In other words, long ago, prophesied about, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all of their ungodly, who are among them with all of their ungodly deeds. So, they've been warned about this. So my question is, how in the world does a false teacher or these people who want to deceive the church, how in the world did they get into the assemblies of God? I mean, how did they come in? Is the church, or is it the pastor's fault? Are they maybe just, everything is good, we're just trying to grow the church, and man, more people the better, or something like that? I mean, are the churches, were they asleep at their post? Are we asleep today? A lot of us are. A lot of us lack discernment, whether what's been spoken is true or not true. But I know this, those teachers, they work for the devil, and they are experts in deception. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He makes darkness appear like light. And in the next verse, therefore it's no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, those false teachers, transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, look at the next part of verse 4. It says, they're also ungodly men. What does that mean? What is an ungodly person? An ungodly man, an ungodly woman, but here in context, is one who lives and breathes as if God doesn't even exist. They don't fear God. They don't tremble at the word of God. And what's interesting is what we're really going to learn as we go along, loved one, when beginning with this word ungodly, you count them later. Jude is going to give the readers and us at least 20 vile characteristics of these deceivers, okay, these false teachers. And the reason is that way you can identify them, okay? So, and look what they did. They did it then, and they do it today. Who continually turn the grace of our God into what? Ooh, lewdness. And deny, or literally they disown, they reject, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So they are enemies of God's grace. They pervert the grace of God. They turn the grace of God. They are grace abusers. So they are against the unmerited, unearned, undeserved divine favor of the living God. They pervert God's grace. And God's grace is his free gift to sinners. Amen? That's how we're saved. Now listen, God's grace can be rejected by anyone, but God's grace can never be changed. Amen? Never be changed. Now, quickly, I want to end this because this is where we're going to start the next time, but quickly. Their gospel, the false teacher's gospel, was the gospel of the flesh. You see that word lewdness there? Oh, man, that is behavior that lacks absolutely any moral restraint. And it's primarily speaking of sexual sin. And so what they were doing, this is literally, they didn't care who even saw them sin. They flaunted it, actually, these false teachers, as we're going to learn. Their doctrine is antinomianism, which means no law. In other words, you're not under the law, brother. You're not under the moral law of God's word. We're under grace. We're not obligated to do anything. We sin because we're under God's grace. Go, brother, go. You know, that's what they were basically doing there. But Paul says in Galatians 1:8, he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the one we've preached to you, let him be anathema or accursed, damned to eternal destruction. What a word is that? And then he repeats it. So I say to you again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you have received, let him be accursed. Listen, false teachers and cults, they have a tremendous zeal for error, for what is false, but they never have that for truth. Remember what they did in Peter? They laid their lies secretly alongside of the truth until their lie replaced the truth of God. That's exactly what's happening today. And so these people here that we're going to be learning about, now listen carefully, the strongest language in the entire Bible is reserved not for murderers, not for adulterers, not for liars, not for thieves, fornicators, but to those who pervert the incredible grace of God, to those who preach another gospel. God's word said, you are accursed. Don't you mess with my grace. Amen? By grace you're saved. Amen? Through faith, not of yourselves. Oh, loved one, listen. Anathema, or accursed, set aside for hell, cut off from Christ Jesus forever and ever. Now listen, as I close, I want to close with a scripture. Each of us, we are contenders for the faith, God's word. Amen? The doctrines of Christianity. And that means you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. You need to know where you can find it so you can show the word of God, which is living and alive. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us, loved one, in Ephesians. Let me just close with this scripture. And again, we're going to pick up right where we left off. But let me close with this scripture here. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then he tells us how to do that. With all lowliness, that word means humility, or gentleness and long-suffering. Those are both fruits of the Holy Spirit, loved one. And it says, suffering with one another in love. That's another fruit of the Spirit. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here it comes. For there is one body of Christians all over the world. Amen? One body. There's one Spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit, and He lives in each of us. Amen? Okay. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, there is one Lord. One Lord. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are equal, but there's only one God. There is one Lord, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is one faith. That's it, meaning the Word of God, the Bible. It says one faith, one baptism. Now, there's many baptisms in the Bible, but He's speaking of when you're baptized into the body of Christ at the new birth, okay? There is one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen? That is the word of God. There's one gospel. There is one Savior who gave Himself for our sins, and there's only one way to be saved, and it is by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. Amen? And how does a person save? Just like Paul told the jailer at Philippi. He says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen.
Pastor Bill continues his study from Jude on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll join us again. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Love Never Fails today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.